It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Joey Loss.
And yes, the prodigal son is prodigaling again today. Doing, you know, he's the father of a graduating senior. So this is college shopping season, and they're out doing a couple of the remote ones that they're considering. And hopefully they'll have a good time, and who knows. It's not a slam dunk when you take a kid to a college he's never been to. And mostly they walk in and they either say, oh, this feels really good, or, man, this feels really bad.
And yeah, this weekend is the Deep South Circuit. They actually can't go to Ole Miss, which was on the docket because of what happened
because
from
of the
snow.
Weather?
The snow, like, forced the cancellation of the tour. Can you believe that? In Mississippi.
Isn't that amazing?
What a strange weather pattern.
I've been in Mississippi when everything would shut down because it was too damn hot to even go outside, but never too cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what's happening. Joey and I got it for today. No problem. Before we do anything, we have a caller on the line, and we need to take it. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, Steve. How you doing this morning?
I am very well, thank you. And you?
Yes, sir. I've had better days, but... I felt compelled to call you guys this morning because I knew that my best friend here in Jacksonville, Michael Mastriano, you know, right now would be listening to you guys if he were here. And I just wanted to, you know, express my gratitude to him for all the times that he listened to your show. And he was such a proud listener to gain the knowledge that you guys provided each Saturday. And I know that, you know, he was a trivia player too. He just loved
when
you guys ran the trivia.
Excellent.
And so I did want to express the fact that he passed away last night after a short bout with cancer. Mike did pass away last night around 9:30.
Well, we're all crushed, and I mean that. So
yeah, I know.
Thank you so much for letting us know and all of the listeners, because you know, Mike had a lot of friends out there with their radios. Because you know, everybody enjoyed it when he called us.
Yeah, and Mike was very generous with his wins.
I mean, he
was apt to win. He was very smart and always plugged in and really listening to what we were talking about. But he very often gave his prize money away. Not that it was a big old bag of money, but it meant something that he did that.
Absolutely.
Amen. And he lived his life that way, just so you know. So for anybody listening out there today, you know, take that spirit, you know, with you, because Mike, I believe, today is in heaven with the Lord, and he's going to be sharing a lot of those stories that he learned here on planet Earth with those, you know, in eternity. So we're all very thankful to have known him.
We are too, and I thank you.
Yeah, thank you, gentlemen. I hope you have a wonderful show.
Thank you
so
Paul.
Much. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Well, you can see why I change the order of things a little bit today.
Sure.
That news, it does do one positive thing for everybody listening out there.
What's that?
Gives him a chance to win once in a while.
Yeah. Mike was a winner.
He was a notorious winner. And you know, I knew he read a lot, he remembered a lot, and he must have pretty good internet service too.
Yeah.
So you will be missed, Mr. Mike, badly. All right, what day is it? Oh, I know. It is the first day of the 12th year of Van Wee Financial Hour. And this is the one day I get to tell a story every year as we count up the years. And it has to do with 12 years ago, this particular Saturday. And Adam and I had decided to form a new business. We weren't even technically open yet, but we wanted to build it, partly through using the radio show. So we contracted with WBOB for the period that started in February. And the day came. Of course, Adam had never done radio. I'd been doing it on and off for 11, 12 years, something like that. And it was a little scary just to be the one that's in the control seat instead of the side seat. But basically, it was not new to me as it was to him. So I know he was a little trepidatious, and of course I was too, to a degree, because couldn't fall back in anything. And I live out at the beach, and this is in a ways toward the end of Butler. And I was about halfway in, and my phone rang. I had hands free in my car, and looked, and it was Adam. So I took the call, hands free, and he said, "Dad, you're not going to believe this." "Okay, what?" He said, "The power went out at the radio station completely, and there's a backup battery. It just died from the length of time it had been used." So I came in anyway, and his admonition to me was, "Don't take the elevator today," which was probably pretty good advice since I'd still be on the first floor 12 years later. And we got in here, and Angela Walker was doing her show with Howard back in those days. So they had a few minutes left in their show when the power went out. So they just were kind of hanging around, and we had never met them yet. So we came in, and they were just as nice as they could be, and we got to know each other and talked for quite a long time. And meanwhile, the producer had been keeping in touch with the power company, and the power company said that their estimate was 11:30 to restore power. And, of course, our show runs 10 to 11. So we just spent the whole hour, basically most of it, talking to Angela and Howard. We're very generous with their time. And about 8 minutes to 11, things started lighting up in here. We didn't get ready, should I say. We didn't have headphones on. The computer was still booting. And all of a sudden, the station was on the air again with about 8 minutes to go in our show. So we scrambled, and there's no other way to put it. We just scrambled. It kind of broke the tension of being the first show ever thing, which could be a little scary because it was so darn funny. And I have used the first Saturday in February every year since to tell that story. And I still use the elevator. Maybe it's foolish, but the good news is Adam and Joey don't usually. So I know there will be someone here when 10 o'clock strikes, no matter what. Anyway, that's our little personal note. As I say, I take advantage of this one a year to tell that story over and over again. It's just one of those things in my life that was so memorable. But here we are, 12 years starting today. And as I welcome everybody again, as I always do, and I tell them I'm especially grateful to the long-term listeners, because as long as they keep listening, we'll keep talking. And one of those was Mike. So one of the amazing things about doing radio, it's interesting, the statistics are very easy. You don't know what size your audience is ever, unless some of the big places have some services that try to estimate it. But the thing about live talk radio is that only 5% of your listeners will ever call a radio station. So you look at everybody you talk to during the show, and there's another 19 people out there listening to that person, and we hope they'll turn over and get into the area where they become callers. All right, we'll get back on track right after a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Joey Loss.
And now we're going to pretend the show is brand new, and I'm going to say welcome to all the regulars. Thank you for always being here. If you're new to the show, try to stick it out for the whole hour. You'll learn something, I virtually guarantee you. And, of course, the lines are open, 904-222-8255. And, as usual, we have a trivia question brought to you by Paul Lloyd at First Coast Alarm. It's a little bit different today. By the way, you can call Paul at 904-636-7888. Going to do a little bit different, and you'll understand by the end of the show exactly why I'm doing this, I think. What celebrity's name is being used on an upcoming mission into outer space? That's all you're going to get from me now. But you'll know by if you stick around till 11. All right. We had a tumultuous couple of days in the market, and Joey's going to tell you all about it.
Yeah, it was a wild week, and the week before was really a little less intense, but not so different in terms of a summary line for that. If you looked at the headlines on Friday afternoon, you saw history. The Dow Jones Industrial Average officially closed above 50,000 for the first time. Steve, is 50,000 on your bingo board for this period?
It's funny you should ask. It's probably in the spring of last year, maybe summer. And I made a prediction right on this show. And I said, I believe the Dow will cross 50,000 by the end of the year.
Okay.
I won't guarantee you it'll stay above, close above 50,000, but I believe we will see 50,000 at the end of this year. I was 37 days off. That's all.
I remember standing in Adam's office with you and Adam on April 9th of last year. Do you remember this? It was 10 a.m. roughly, and we were watching the market reclaim 10% of the fear that had come up the tariff lead up. And then once Trump tweeted or put out a Truth Social pausing it, we watched the Dow reclaim 40 and to think, now we just crossed 50 is wild. So the Dow rose 2.5% on the week to set this record. The S&P and the NASDAQ had volatile weeks themselves. The S&P fared better of the two, closing roughly flat, leaving its year-to-date performance around a positive 1.3. The NASDAQ, however, lost 1.87% this week, which pushed it into slightly negative territory for the year. There's an interesting set of stories playing out in the market right now, and software is the big one. I really want to get into that. But for the rest of the numbers, while the Dow is popping champagne, there's a bloodbath in crypto markets and in tech, specifically in the SaaS market. SaaS stands for Software as a Service, and the current events are earning the nickname SaaSpocalypse as investors rotate their funds. Yeah, I liked that. As investors rotate their funds elsewhere in the market. Three other winners this week were small caps, up 2.17, emerging markets, up 1.6, and developed international markets, up 1.86. They seem to be the benefactors of market rotation consistently so far this year. On the year, small caps are up over 7.5%. That's, 37 days into the year?
Mm-hmm.
Emerging markets, nearly 10%, and developed international, nearly 7%. For less than six full weeks, those are big numbers. Spot gold has been volatile, but ended the week remarkably flat, despite last week's struggle. It's up about 15% on the year. Silver, on the other hand, continues to bleed intermittently. It's up 9% on the year, but that's down from a high of up 63% year-to-date just 2 weeks ago. What a wild ride.
Now, who predicted something like that?
I think that guy is traveling the south with the sun right now.
It could be
that. in fairness, he hates predictions. So I think he said this is likely, but I'm not putting my foot in the... So the biggest story this week is definitely software. It was true last week, but it wasn't as big until it continued into this week. If you hold IGV, which is the iShares expanded tech software sector, you felt the pain. It fell 9.2% in just the first 4 days of this week alone. The index is down over 20% year-to-date, and certain large software companies that we've all heard of, like ServiceNow, Salesforce, and Intuit, are all down 20% or more. ServiceNow and Intuit are down almost 30%. This sudden market movement was triggered by a recent development and release in Anthropic's Claude AI. The release was a legal tool which shifted something in investors' brains about what they expect from the future. For 2 years now, AI has been a wind in the sails for every software company's valuations. Now, AI is seen by many as an existential threat for these software companies. And the thing that changed, this is so fascinating to me, is instead of AI becoming a supplemental resource for these software companies, and the assumption being all of the companies that have enterprise licenses with Salesforce and ServiceNow and these companies will continue to pay more and more as the value increases, suddenly the narrative shifted to every company is going to be able to build their own SaaS software internally. Mm-hmm. They'll be able to have AI code something that's perfect for their business. It'll be agile. They won't have to interact with a third party. They won't have to pay these huge enterprise licenses. And it just blew up the software as a service pricing model.
Yeah, I remember when the concept of report generators came up, when computers were still, they're pretty good about collecting information, but it wasn't necessarily all that useful. So somebody came up with a, you put in a few parameters and a report would come back up from a big database. That was better than nothing, but there's nothing like private software.
Yeah, I mean, I get excited thinking about that for us, and that's obviously what all other companies are doing. But there's some justice in this for a portion of the investor population who feels like companies like Salesforce and others have taken advantage of the fact that we're so dependent on their softwares to run our businesses. And it's such a lift. If anyone's ever gone through this, you know what I'm talking about. Setting yourself up on one of these softwares is a massive lift in cultural change. You basically build your business processes around these softwares, and then they have you captive, and they've been raising their fees 15% per seat every year, and you have no negotiating power. Well, that has just changed. I mean, it's like the buyers suddenly have all the power, and so that's where these re-ratings have come in. And from a valuation perspective, software companies are now, they've just lost sort of the bubble element that they've gained over the last few years. They're not necessarily priced at a dramatic discount yet. Could that happen? It could. Mm-hmm. But right now, they're probably more fairly priced based on other like companies.
You know who's very happy to have a new job lately?
Who?
Doug Burgum.
Who's Doug Burgum?
Secretary of the Interior. Hmm. Do you know what his previous career was?
Mm-mm.
He started Great Plains Software. And when I had a metalworking job shop in Wisconsin, Great Plains was advertising big time, growing like crazy. And we looked at it, and it suffered from that one thing we've been just talking about. It was very difficult to customize it to some of the real strange pieces of our business. Would it do accounting and all that stuff? Yeah. But we needed a very accurate costing system, and it wasn't available. I'm not picking on Great Plains or anybody else, because every one of them we looked at couldn't be done. So the guy that I bought the business from had created his own, and it was intensely complicated and largely manual. The computer would spit out some numbers, and then somebody had to sit down for every order that went through the shop and manually cost it using information the computer gave us. And it was just ridiculous, which is why I was trying to replace it. Nowadays, or soon anyway, you would just say, I want this to do this.
Right.
And come back in a few minutes, and it would do that.
Yeah, or even better, you can just say, hey, we're noticing this problem. What do you suggest?
Yeah.
And then it says, here's what you can do.
Diagnose your problem and fix it as soon as I say okay.
Yeah, and so there'll still be costs associated with that, but you'll be paying mm-hmm. the AI companies that are giving you the creative freedom to do this. So here's something funny that comes out of this. Private equity. A lot of private equity companies are in a position where they own a lot of the AI companies mm-hmm. that are getting the benefit of this wave of change that's perceived in the market. So AI valuations themselves are increasing. Meanwhile, the other half of their portfolio in these software companies is bleeding out based on the success of the other part of their portfolio. And so this rotation is just, it clearly indicates that nobody saw this coming, even right. the big institutional private money.
Well, and there's another thing happening too, and I think this is related if you think about it. There's a shift going on from growth to value orientation.
There is.
Growth has been stunning over the last few years because of things like the software companies and the hardware companies and so on. But now they're going to be, shall we say, not growing so much anymore. So now people are looking at what a value company is to me, at least, is somebody that pays dividends and has for a while, and they grow. And those are the things I look for. So those of us who've been dividend company shopping for years are inwardly grinning all the way to the bank.
Definitely. Yeah, if you're into materials companies, banking companies, what else? Chemical companies, things of that nature. You know, that you're kind of, this is kind of your season.
Yeah, developed companies that have, they've sort Staples. Of grown to their optimal end, and now their free cash flow is being given back to the owners of the company, i.e. the shareholders.
Yeah.
So I'm enjoying every minute of it.
Yeah. And value has these, we've had a few other value pockets over the last few years. Mm-hmm. And then they
Fits and starts.
They just didn't last. And I think what's happening now is there's a healthy decline in momentum. I think the momentum is what was making people scared.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think people are looking at this as, I should say this is, I hate this term, so I'm going to use it, a paradigm shift.
Yes.
Because it really is.
Yeah.
The orientation now of companies that are set to grow like crazy has totally reversed itself. And who knows what the wave of the future will be. The first-time unemployment claims weren't bad.
Weren't bad.
131,000. That's way under the bad number. Or was it 131? 231. Can't remember.
I think it was 231. It was a little higher than the projection.
It's under 250. That's the benchmark.
Yeah.
And things aren't bad out there, but there's a lot of iffiness.
The consumers do this well.
When we get back after taking another short break, don't go anywhere. We'll get right back to it. This is the Banwe Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Banwe Financial Hour. I'm Steve Banwe.
And I'm Joey Loss.
And I remind everyone that lines are open, 904-222-8255, where you can take a shot at a trivia question. What celebrity's name is being attached to a space mission? Like I said, you're going to love the tie-in here. At least some of you will. We want to get to the phone, but I wanted to bring up one little absurdity first. Marshall's on the line. He might even appreciate this. Most everybody's heard of the Trevi Fountain in Italy, where it's supposed to be good luck to throw money in it. Well, now it's going to cost you $2.35 to be able to throw your money in the fountain. I have a way to save a lot of money for people. Just throw it in the toilet instead of three. Good morning, Marshall.
Gentlemen, two quick points before I get to my question. One, thank you for creating this Saturday morning family, because I think that truly is what you've accomplished here.
Well, thank you. We like to think of it that way.
We learn a great deal from you.
Pardon?
Second point. I worked for three companies that had Salesforce, and were developing it in different ways. The one company that is still in business had a chief information officer who could think. I'll just say they're still in business doing very, very well, and our Salesforce works pretty good. The other two, I can't imagine how much money was spent on consultants that were dumb. So that's your Salesforce item. My question, Steve, because you have been in the manufacturing world. What have we ever, one, have we ever had this kind of let's write it all off in 1 year?
Not to this degree. There have been some big years.
And two, what do you think is going to be the impact?
Well, if you're a big outfit, and us little guys, we could always write things off, virtually always, because there was a $75,000 limit when I was young and in this business, and that was a lot of money for a little guy whose gross sales were $1.5 million. So that was never really a big problem. We used to get tax credits, too, and things like that. But then over the years, there have been some times when the write-offs got larger. It's always temporary, but you're looking at unlimited now. So a company comes along now, a big outfit, and they build a factory because they're bringing a line back here, and it comes right off their bottom line directly, 100%. They just write it off. Now, that saves enough money in taxes alone that it's a great incentive to do it. But then when you get here and you put a product in it, you can sell that product anywhere you want to with no tariff. So it's a two-sided thing. But I think this wave of factories that's coming in is not all about tariffs. I also believe it's about the economic incentive provided by 100% immediate depreciation. I'm not sure. Somebody will probably put a number on that after the tax season, after the corporations all put their returns in, but well, I have no idea the exact size, but let's start with the word huge and go from there. Do you think it's
right,
a good idea?
A guess out there for you?
Pardon?
How about a guess of Trump?
No, he's staying down closer to earth with his Trump RX, which I'm going to talk about a little bit, too. Have you heard about it?
Well, oh, yeah, I tried to sign on, and none of the prescription drugs that I have are listed yet.
No, I looked
at RX.
Yeah, I looked at it, too.
And it's been a great help.
Yeah, I did the same thing, and none of ours are on it. But remember, this, he's cut deals with 14 manufacturers, and only five of them are on the website right at the moment.
Yeah.
So it's going to get bigger.
All right, sir. Well, I'm enjoying listening to you guys as I'm traveling to Gainesville. Thank you.
All right. Well, have a good time out there. Later.
To put some numbers to what Marshall was talking about, so the ISM Manufacturing Index rose to 52.6 in January. Adam actually sent this to me this week. And this easily beats the consensus expected of 48.5.
Wow.
Why are those few points so significant? 50 is the difference between
one is expansion and one is contraction.
Right. So we've officially entered expansion. And this is a big deal because this national report now matches all the regional reports we've been seeing
right.
over the last several months. New orders, the new orders index jumped to 57.1 from 47.4. So if you're looking for are people spending as a result of this bonus depreciation deal, that's your number. It rose 20%.
I have two articles right in my hands here. One of them is durable goods orders boosted by surging demand for capital goods. Well, that's good. But this one's important too. U.S. factory productivity revised higher on stronger output. So what happened, the productivity increased at a 5.4% annual rate in the third quarter, revised up from 4.7%. What that means is that goods are not more expensive. It's anti-inflationary because all of the wage increases that are going to labor are being eaten up in productivity and more, so the actual output is coming out less money per unit than it was a year ago.
Interesting.
That's going to make things even better in the long run. And now look at what is happening. We were talking to Marshall about Trump RX, the new website, where so far five drug manufacturers are listed some of their biggest items at discounts ranging from about 50 to 90%. And you're free to use your insurance if you get a better deal from them, or you're free to buy directly from the Trump RX website if that's a better deal. Now, people have been whining and crying about affordability. By people, I mean all of Trump's enemies. And things are becoming more affordable. You know, it used to be concentrated on eggs. Well, you don't hear eggs anymore. Why? Because they came down 81%. Now it's prescription drugs. Well, that's probably going to go away as more and more people get onto this website. You know, they're going to find something wrong with them every day, usually more than one. But the lesson here, I guess, is that what's actually happening out there is a virtual slam dunk as far as the economic health of the country over the next period of time. That's the way I see it anyway.
And if you look at consumer behavior right now, it's still positive. No matter how people feel, they're acting positively about their situation. They've lost some risk appetite for gambling and crypto and some of these software stocks, obviously. But they're keeping money invested, and they're spending their money at full-service restaurants, which is a really good marker we've learned over the last 5 years. People are going out.
And who's happier than the servers?
Right.
Paying income tax on the first $25,000 in tips they get.
Right, which then turns into more spending on staples and discretionary spending and boost your stocks.
Another thing Trump's been pointing out that people haven't really bought into enough, and Scott Bessent also, is that the withholding tables were not changed in 2025, but the law was. So you're getting those $25,000 in tips, non-taxable, retroactive to January 1, 2025, which means an awful lot of people are going to get some awfully big refunds this year. And I read things all the time on the various and sundry pages about how people are saying, well, that's overblown, it's nothing, nobody's going to get any of that. Well, it's not on the tax form, so you really have to know if you're going to do it yourself. You got to understand that you might have to dig a little bit through your TurboTax or whatever. And if you've got somebody preparing your taxes for you, quiz them, make darn sure they understand that that provision is in there and retroactive.
Yeah.
Some things are starting this year. That is not one of them. So you're going to see young people in particular who are working for lots of tips, you're going to see them with a much better economic position post-tax, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, these are millions of jobs we're talking about. Yeah. And, you know, talk about several thousand dollars of tax savings per person.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, you were talking about value stocks. I wonder how much the market's pricing that in, because we're seeing them perform.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's, if that's been priced in or not. I don't have a good way to measure it, but.
Yeah. Well, you know, not everything is directly cause and effect, but there's a lot of things that are correlated.
Mm-hmm.
And this could be really good. And then on the other end of the spectrum, me, if you're 65 and older, you get an extra $6,000 a piece, non-taxable money. And I don't know about anybody else, but I don't much care what your tax bracket is. Saving $12,000 times your tax bracket is pretty nice.
It's not a bad deduction.
Yeah, and you don't have to itemize to get it, but if you do, it's okay. It's not a problem. So things are definitely looking up. All right, before we finish up Market Wrap, this would normally be the show where we're talking about jobs. So it all started fine, as it always does on Wednesday, with ADP, the private payroll people, and they came out with plus 22,000. And I think a lot of people were surprised that it was positive. I wasn't in particular. But when you look at the 109,000 layoffs that were done in January, it looks a little more impressive. That doesn't count the federal government. So usually on Friday, out comes the Bureau of Labor Statistics with their reports from the household survey and the employer survey. And they announced along about Wednesday that it's probably going to be delayed because of the partial government shutdown for a couple of days. So, yeah, anything they can do to not have to work hard to play catch up, they're going to do. So we will have those for you next week because they're coming out on Wednesday. So there'll be a thorough look at the jobs report. Meanwhile, the JOLTS, the job opening and labor turnover, JOLTS fell about 750,000. It's down around 6.5 million now, which is lower than it's been in some time. But there's good news attached to that as well, that very simply that people aren't getting fired very often.
Mm-hmm.
So, more to come. One more little break. We'll see you on the other side. This is the Vanwee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanwee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanwee.
And I'm Joey Loss.
And we still have lines open, 904-222-8255. And the trivia question is, what celebrity's name is being added to a space mission? Still no clues out there, but you're going to like it, at least some of you. All right. Anything else we got to wrap up in the market and the jobs and all that?
No, I think today's report was kind of intentionally messy. It's when you have this big a shift, it's kind of hard to cherry pick which data matters the most. Calling out the Dow was easy. That was fun. 50,000.
Yeah, well, we're gotta go back to the phone for a minute here. Good morning, Lane.
How you doing?
Excellent. Are you thawed out yet?
Yes, we are. Weather's looking great.
I love the picture of your house. Dreaming of a white Christmas in early February.
So I'm calling this morning with a public service analysis.
Shoot.
Public service.
Yep.
So have you guys made your plans yet?
Which ones?
You got 7 days. What's coming up?
Let's see. 7 and 7 is 14. That would be one of those commercial holidays that we've studiously ignored for 53 years.
Well, your servers are expecting a boost, so you got to help them out.
I am going to give every server who waits on me for the rest of the year a big tip. Of course, I don't ever go out, and there won't be any servers, but you know, it's the thought that counts.
Well, right? Yeah. So make your reservations, and then advice to men, of course, is think this through. Are you going to take her to a place where you pay before you eat or a place where you pay after you eat?
Yeah, there's a difference.
So, yeah, that's funny. I've always enjoyed the discussion about sit-down restaurants being a bellwether for the economy, because they sure are busy. And we've got a couple of more getting ready to break ground here. So,
Adam tells me how impossible it is to get a reservation out at the beach for a weekend night, especially. Lines are everywhere, and you just can't get them.
Yeah, if we don't go at 5 o'clock, it's nearly impossible.
One of the benefits of getting older. You can go at 4 if you want to.
Yeah. our house shuts down at 7 with our kids, so.
Yeah.
Early dinner's the move right now.
Yeah.
So anyway, let me take a shot at, now they call it the celebrity space tourism business.
Oh.
And... when is Katy Perry expected to go? When's that coming up?
I don't know, but I might offer her a one-way. Yeah, she could be the one who settles on Mars. I wouldn't miss it. I don't wish her any ill, but she could be. But it is not Katy Perry, if that's your guess.
Well, how about that? All right. Well, we eliminated one that was in the headlines.
You did. So not that many left, few million. That's it.
All right.
Like I said, you're going to like it.
Yeah. So we'll talk to you all soon.
All right.
Thanks, Lane.
Said hi.
Yeah, bye.
All right, take care. The next line is ringing, but I don't have any info on it yet. Okay. What do we want to talk about? I got so many things here, so deep. Oh, I know what it was. One of them. I may have mentioned car insurance, that some people are paying too much in car insurance
mm-hmm.
a couple weeks ago maybe. And it seems that what's happening is that your insurance company is collecting data from certain apps on your phone and so on. And those include Life 360, Gas Buddy, My Radar, Fuel Rewards, and Rootly. And the problem with those is they collect your data, send it to your insurance company, and your data includes where you went, how fast you went, if you had to do fast stopping and any of that. So don't let any of those things happen to you. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Bob.
I was calling. Hey, how you doing, Joey? I was calling, and I didn't hear the last person if they guessed because
Katy Perry. Waiting.
Pardon?
Katy Perry. That was not correct.
Okay. Let's see here. Donald Trump, the Trump mission.
I think somebody mentioned that earlier, too, so I'm going to give you a pass on that one, and you can try again.
Okay. How about Orville Wright?
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah.
It's not correct, but I like it. Wilbur would have been okay, too.
We've gone from floppy wings to
yeah, no kidding.
It's, all right.
You have come a long ways, no doubt.
Yeah.
Bye. Appreciate the call. Bye. Good morning, Greg.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. So I had to use AI to get the response.
Uh-huh.
So, we'll see if it's accurate.
Uh-huh.
According to what I'm reading here, us, the taxpayer, the general public, is going to have, I guess you have to send your name into NASA. And they're going to put it on a storage device card and take it to the moon.
Oh, that's interesting. It's not my question today or not the same answer or whatever you want to say, but it's interesting.
Oh.
This one's all set, well, signed, sealed, and delivered.
Yeah, there's a public announcement now. People can send their names to find it on the internet and send their name and
good.
Tell their name will go to space, but that's good. About it.
I like it.
All right.
Thanks.
Well, I'll be listening to see what the right answer is.
I'm going to tell you right now. You can go ahead and turn the radio back on, and I'll explain it.
Okay.
Okay, bye. All right. What will be launched in the year 2026? The Nancy Grace Roman Space Telescope will launch in May. Here's the key, to thoroughly investigate the fundamental principles and origins of dark matter.
Hmm.
Do you know who Nancy Grace is? Anybody who does. She's been on the TV constantly.
Yeah, that's this is one of those names I know I should know and I don't. Yeah,
she has been on Fox constantly because of the missing person case out in Tucson. She is a very, very famous and very well-known and very wealthy investigative journalist. And she's consulted on a wide range of crimes because she has so much experience. So they used her name to thoroughly investigate the fundamental properties and origins of dark matter, which means this puppy's going out there a ways because that's where that lives. So I thought you might get a kick out of that. Anybody who's been watching Fox a lot lately and has seen her talking about this case understands that she's a character. She used to be on a show called Boston Legal frequently, and that was the funniest program on television. Bill Shatner and Nancy Grace and Slater, I can't remember, James Slater. And it was the most politically incorrect howler of a show ever. And my wife and I never missed it. It was so funny. I don't think you could even find a rerun of it today. It's so politically incorrect. So if anybody wants to see some humor and doesn't mind doing a little research, see if you can find reruns of Boston Legal. You'll get a kick out of it, unless, of course, you're one of those politically correct people. Anyway, back to if you're paying too much for your car insurance, you might be able to help yourself with a little of this. And it was from Kim Commando with a K, she says, Gas Buddy's nice, but it isn't worth you paying $300 extra per car per year. But what happens is if you can go to – do you know what LexisNexis is?
No.
LexisNexis. LexisNexis was really the first that I know of anyway, the first big search engine when the internet was just getting started, basically. And it was terribly expensive. Only big companies could afford it, maybe huge law firms. And Rush Limbaugh had it, I remember, and that helped him a lot in relating things together. Well, then along comes Google and all that. The whole world changed. But if you go to LexisNexis and say you want a consumer disclosure report, they will send you, I got 44 pages back. They'll send you a link to your own report. You can read all about yourself and try to fix whatever's there that you find that's wrong. I found it exceedingly accurate, scary accurate. And as Kim says, when you go there and they ask for your name and social security number and everything else, don't hesitate to give it to them. They've already got it. And they do. And they had it all right. They had all of Sarah's and all of mine, every loan we've ever had, every place we ever lived or worked, and on and on and on. It was amazing how much they've got. So then it'll tell you how to put a freeze on your own account. So then when people start to inquire about your driving habits and so on, they're going to get blocked out. What's the cost of this? A few minutes in time. That's it. So remember that. LexisNexis, LexisNexis. And there's no hyphens or slashes or anything in it. It's just a very interesting website, and everybody ought to know about it. Well, not really time to do much else except to just reflect for a few minutes. I'm very sorry to hear about Mike. He will be sadly missed. Next year, or next week, I mean, we will get really into year number 12, and Adam will be here with us, according to everything I know at this point. And we'll see you all then, I hope. So, Joey wanted to quick 5 seconds about your wife.
Yeah, so I wanted to brag on my wife for a sec. She works for Wounded Warrior Project. She's just working on something called the Richard Starr Act to help get disabled veterans all the pay that they're owed. And right now there's a